I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Ezekiel and the book of Isaiah, and I know you're going to think, why are you going back into the Old Testament? I heard a person say one time they primarily preached out of the New Testament. Well, there's a lot of good information in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament can explain or answer some of the questions we may have about issues that comes forth in the Scripture. Now, I want us to turn to Ezekiel 28, and I'm going to read beginning at verse 11 of chapter 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 11, and the word of the Lord came to me, that is to Ezekiel, son of man, take up a lamentation concerning the king of Tyre, and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Very precious stones adorned you. Ruby, topaz, emeralds, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and pearl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold, and on the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created, till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the ground. I made a spectacle of you before kings. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. I'd like us to read at verse 12. And you've fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Some time ago, I addressed one of the enemies that we have as a believer. Now, many times it's not as obvious as what the Ukraine is going through today. When you get 100,000 foot soldiers and all the military hardware around you, you know who your enemy is. Now, this enemy that we have is unseen. But when we think of in our combat day by day, we have the world, and we spoke about that. The world, and oh my goodness, the flesh. Now, when I point to my body, flesh is good in itself. And if you get rid of some of it, it's going to hurt. But what I'm talking about is our sin nature. And then the other one is, the enemy himself. Someone has said that the problem, the world, we find the solution in fleeing. Now, I know the solution is found in the Word of God. The answer is found in the Word of God. But we're to flee the world. When it comes to the flesh, we're to deny the flesh. And when it comes to the devil, we are to resist the devil. we are to take our stand and be firm on our stand against the enemy. Now, you may ask the question, why talk about this subject? First of all, I might say that you say, well, are you not treading on dangerous ground when you start talking about your enemy or our enemy? Well, folks, I don't fear. Why? Scripture says, greater is he that's within you than he that is within the world. I believe when it comes to the enemy, how do we resist him? How did the Lord Jesus resist him when he was tempted? Remember in the temptations in the wilderness, he resisted Satan by presenting the word of God. He stood firm on what God's word said. And that's exactly how we were to respond to the enemy in our lives. And that's why we need to know the word and to use the word. I like Neil Anderson's response to this in the different books that he has. I think it's Present Darkness. What are some of the others? It doesn't matter. What has he said? Is you don't outshout Satan, you out-truth him. Okay? You know, sometimes we hear people who, you know, they're supposed to be in deliverance ministry and they're shouting. We don't have to shout. They can hear very well. What we have to do is we have to out-truth them, present the truth of God's word. Okay. Sometimes we fail. Okay, before I go on, I was going to say that the spectrum is very broad when we come to the subject of Satan. There's those who deny that he exists. They deny that he exists. And then I just watched, and my wife watched a video just recently, Lee, from a guy, and if I get approval from the board, I'd like to show that video of a missionary in Haiti. He's in the mountains in Haiti, and voodooism is very, very prevalent. And Satan worship obviously is very prevalent. And he showed a picture, folks. This is how degrading, this is how horrific it is. There was three little boys sitting there he had a picture of. And he said, the little boy, I believe, was on the left. He said, the father allowed him to be sacrificed to Satan. Wow. Wow. So it's real. Okay, we go on one hand, the extreme. There isn't. To the other hand, where people worship. And then maybe sometimes we're in between, where we say, well, you know, should we really be concerned? Well, I think we really should be. Because, you know what the scripture says? He's going about as what? Help me out here. Once more. Once more. Now I can hear. He's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Unlike the Lord's Prayer. Because as we come down to the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one, some of the modern translations, but the evil one. Lead us from, I believe in the King James, it says, lead us not into temptation. And what's the rest of that in the King James? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. Wow. Jesus said, it's important that we're aware of the fact that the enemy is, he's alive and well. Okay, let's go over to Ezekiel, and I want us just to 28. Okay, where did Satan come from? Satan, in some translations, it is Lucifer, who is morning star. Where did Lucifer come from? Okay, I think in the scriptures we read this morning, we're aware of the fact that God created him, Okay, this is the beginning. God created him. He was a created angelic being. Now, the next thing we find in the end of the scriptures here that we looked at, he was cast out of heaven. Now, if we go over to Revelation chapter 12, it states there that Satan took with, the great dragon, took with him one-third of the angels. Now, some believe that is a reference to Ezekiel and also to Isaiah of Satan being cast out of heaven. He takes with him one-third of the angelic hosts who are now we call what? Demons. Okay? And remember when God spoke to, when Job was approached, where was Satan when God spoke to the angels and Satan who came before him? Where was he going about? To and fro throughout the earth. He never stops. Now, why was he cast out of heaven? Why was Satan cast out of heaven? We found, and we read first from Ezekiel, that you were a model of perfection. Some believe that Satan may have been, or Lucifer, may have been the angel of angels. Because in God's order or hierarchy, there's different levels of hierarchy. And so they believe, there's some who believe that, say, obviously, he was very beautiful, a model of perfection, full of wisdom. And okay, here it says perfect in beauty. Now, okay, something I didn't explain. How do we know that these are in reference to the fall of Lucifer when Isaiah addresses the king of Babylon and Ezekiel addresses the king of Tyre? Okay? Is it not, some writers feel that this is in reference to those particular kings. But I think there's things here like being in the garden of God. Well, none of those kings were there. Now, this is what some scholars present. As these prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel, as they bring this lamentation against the king, they're seeing through those kings as to who is orchestrating or controlling them. So when we think of it in that way, yes, we can see that what they're referring to is the enemy. Okay, I want to just stop there for a moment. How much control does Satan have? I'm not going to answer it. Can Satan control believers? I'm not going to answer it. What does it mean when the devil entered into Judas Iscariot? What does that mean? Wow. And I used the verse this morning. Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking to devour us. What does that mean? Now, why I presented that is simply because I believe that there is this, I'm going to call it evil force or spirit that's out there. And sometimes we don't understand why certain things happen in our lives. But you know what? What did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Peter? Satan. Here's an apostle. Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. Can a believer speak on behalf of Satan? We're not going to answer that. We're going to answer that down the road, okay? Today is an introductory day. Okay, you're in the Eden, the Garden of God. We know that the old serpent, okay? As referred to in the book of Revelation, the old serpent, he was there. Now, when it says about every precious stone adored you, on the priests, the high priest's, what do we call it, robe? Is that the right word? Pardon? Garment. Okay, thank you. You wonder why you have a wife, right? Garment. There were how many stones on it, on the chest? How many? That they represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, why were they there? It was an adornment, I believe, of position. And it could have other meanings as well, but one of position. Satan had a very special position, or I should say Lucifer. Let us move on. He goes on to say, on the day you were created, they were, pardon me, prepared. Then we go down and notice what it says here in verse 14. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. Now, what being anointed? Remember, the prophet, priest, and kings all were anointed. He had a special office, position that God had placed him. And you were on the Mount of God and walked among the fiery stones, which seraphims mean burning ones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Now, I'm going to now go over to Isaiah chapter 14. Where did the wickedness come in? How, at verse 12, how have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? You've been cast down to the earth. You once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, now folks, what caused the fall of Satan? Why was he cast out of God's presence down to the earth? Well, we're going to find out. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars or angels of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountains. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. Okay? I will make myself like the Most High. But God had the last word. But you're brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Pride. How deadly pride is. What does the scripture say about pride? Ooh, God, we know that God hates pride. God gives grace to the humble, and he resists the proud. Yes, God, pride, and what really is pride? No, here, see, how much pride do we have? Of course, we have too much. Satan. Just follow the sequence here. He was most beautiful. He was actually perfect, the scripture says. He was brilliant. He had top position, but he wasn't satisfied. What he wanted to be above God. Now, let's just stop and think of that this morning. You might say, but Gary, look, I'm not there yet, but I haven't asked you a question. See, today, it's about what I want, not about what God wants. See, when it comes right down to it, are we telling God what to do? And you say, well, how do I tell God what I'm going to do? People make decisions and totally leave God out of the decision. In other words, they say, God, we don't need you. We're going to do this all on our own. And you know what the Bible says? He who thinks he standeth, take heed lest he falls. The other verse that I of late have been thinking a lot about is the way of the transgressor is hard. Wow, it's difficult. See, when we want to do it our way, people today really don't want to submit to authority. And worst of all, even submitting to God and say, you know, God, you're right. You're right. And I'm going to submit my life to you. See, who is God in our lives? Are we pretending to be God, that we know better than God in the decisions we make? Or do we just come humbly to him and just say, Lord, I got to do it your way. I have to do it your way. Because you said, if you honor me, I will honor you. Wow. See how rebellious we are? Sometimes we think within human nature, we think we have it all together. But how many decisions will we make independent of God? Wow. What a reminder this morning that Satan fell. Why? Because of pride. Now, we're going to go on from here next time. I want you to go to the book of Colossians for me. The epistle to the Colossians. Philippians, Colossians. I want you to circle this verse in your Bible. Man, I love this verse. And then I'm going to conclude with an illustration. Is Satan powerful? He is. I think I told you before, I read a book one time. In fact, I want to get it again. I'm going to order it. The Beautiful Side of Evil. Huh. The Beautiful Side of Evil. And you say, was it written by a Christian? It was so. What's the beautiful side of evil? Satan can heal. See, we don't realize the power of the one that we're fighting against. But I want you to know this. I want to conclude today with this. It's found in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 down to the end of verse 15. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive through Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code or the law with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Now here's the verse. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, one of the things we need to know today before we conclude is, number one, Satan has lost his position. He's cast down. And also, Satan has lost his power. He is disarmed. Don't fear. Satan is disarmed. But but he's not going to give up. See, he's a defeated foe, but he's a sore loser. He wants to take as many with him. He wants to nullify our effectiveness for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, illustration. There was a father and son. Apparently one day we're driving down the road, and they had their window down, and guess what? In flew a bee. The son was hysterical because he was severely allergic to bees. And he started to scream. And he lost it. And his dad watched for that bee, and finally he reached out and he grabbed the bee and he held it in his hand. The son soon settled down. Dad said, I got it. And after they traveled for a little bit, Dad opened his hand. Out went the bee. The son back in the same reaction when he first saw the bee. He was totally obsessed with the fact that, okay, yes, he might die. But you know what Dad did? Dad took the stinger out of him. That bee was disarmed. And so the child could relax because Dad, the Savior, took the sting out of that bee that could have brought death. Are you glad today that you know the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who not only was involved in Satan's dethronement, but today, to realize that he has disarmed him. As a child of God, he's got no authority over us. He's got no power over us. Yes, this morning we read about the very fact that, about the church. Wow. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Isn't it wonderful, folks? We live in a world where, in some countries, yes. But as we're going to talk, maybe even in America, the church is being affected, but in a different way. We're not going there. Where we're going today, we're going to conclude. And we're going to conclude with the fact that our enemy, praise God, is what? Disarmed. He's disarmed. His ammunition is taken all the way. But he still is relentless. Shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you today for this time of worship, this time of being reminded from the Word of God about our real enemy. And Lord, I just commit each one to you. Lord, thank you for the day we saw the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And Father, thank you today that perfect love cast out all fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Lord, today, thank you that there is no more condemnation. Jesus bore it all. And Lord, today, we can overcome not only the evil one, we can overcome the world, and we can overcome the flesh. We just commit each person to you. And Lord, maybe today we have not acknowledged publicly the struggles we're going through. Lord, I just want to thank you that you're there for everyone. And Lord, we should wait upon the Lord, for he shall renew our strength. We will mount up on wings as eagles. We will walk and not be weary. We will run and not faint. Thank you for the promises of God. In Jesus' name. And they all said, Amen. Thank you. Norm, is there anything? Yes? Good.